Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Our Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Economic Geography, A Contemporary Introduction by Neil M. Coe, Philip F. Kelly, and Henry W. T. Young is an academic textbook that introduces the spatial organization of economic life. Rather than treating the economy as a neutral system operating above place, the book explains how markets, firms, states, labor, consumption, culture, technology, and environmental change are shaped by geography. Its purpose is to give students and general academic readers a structured entry into contemporary economic geography. But combining foundational debates with newer concerns such as global production networks, climate change, migration, and economic practices outside the capitalist mainstream. The book is designed as an introduction, but it does more than define concepts. It contrasts geographical thinking with narrower assumptions found in economics and management studies, showing why location, scale, uneven development, social relations, and institutional context matter. Its value lies in presenting economic processes as embedded in real places, power relations, and global connections. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the economy is treated as geographically embedded rather than placeless. A central contribution of the book is its insistence that economic activity cannot be understood as if it unfolds in an abstract, frictionless space. The authors introduce economic geography as a way of asking where economic processes happen, why they happen there, and how those locations affect outcomes. This approach challenges simplified views that treat markets as self-contained mechanisms governed only by price, supply, and demand. In contrast, the book emphasizes that production, trade, investment, labor markets, consumption, and regulation are rooted in places with different histories, institutions, infrastructures, and social relations. This framing helps explain why some regions become centers of finance, manufacturing, logistics, or innovation, while others remain peripheral or dependent. The argument is not that geography determines economic life mechanically, but that spatial arrangements shape opportunities and constraints. Distance, borders, cities, transport systems, local skills, cultural norms, and political authority all influence economic behavior. By beginning from this geographical perspective, the book gives readers a vocabulary for analyzing capitalism as a spatially uneven and socially organized system rather than as a universal model that operates identically everywhere. Secondly, uneven development is explained through spatial concentration and global interdependence. The book gives sustained attention to uneven development, one of the defining concerns of economic geography. It asks why growth, wealth, infrastructure, employment, and technological capacity are distributed so unequally across regions and countries. Rather than presenting inequality as a temporary failure of markets, the text shows how unevenness is often produced by the normal operation of economic systems. Investment tends to cluster where profitability, infrastructure, labor skills, and institutional support are already strong, which can reinforce existing advantages. At the same time, poorer regions are not simply isolated from successful ones. They are frequently connected through trade, labor migration, resource extraction, outsourcing, debt, and commodity chains. This means that development in one place may depend on low wages, environmental burdens, or resource flows from another. The book, therefore, moves beyond a simple rich place versus poor place comparison. It encourages readers to examine relationships between places, including how cities, states, firms, and global markets interact across scales. This is important because policies aimed only at local improvement may miss the wider networks that structure local possibilities. Uneven development becomes a dynamic geographical process rather than a static map of winners and losers. Thirdly, global production networks reveal how firms coordinate value across borders. A major contemporary theme in the book is the organization of production across borders through commodity chains and global production networks. The authors use this perspective to show that goods are rarely the product of one firm or one national economy. Instead, design, financing, sourcing, manufacturing, logistics, branding, retail, and disposal may be spread across many places. This framework is useful because it connects everyday commodities to wider systems of labor, technology, corporate strategy, and regulation. It also helps readers understand the power of transnational corporations without reducing the global economy to corporate control alone. Firms coordinate networks, but they also depend on suppliers, workers, states, infrastructure, consumers, and financial institutions. The spatial distribution of value is a key issue. Higher profits often concentrate in activities such as branding, research, finance, or platform control, while lower value and more precarious work may be located elsewhere. By examining production networks geographically, the book clarifies why globalization is not simply the spread of free trade. It is a structured reorganization of economic activity across places, shaped by bargaining power, institutional conditions, technological capacity, and the ability of firms to manage complex relationships over distance. Fourthly, labor, migration, gender, and ethnicity are presented as active forces in economic space. The book does not treat labor as a passive input into production. It emphasizes that workers, migrants, households, unions, gender relations, and ethnic communities all shape economic geographies. This is important because many economic accounts focus primarily on firms, capital, and markets, leaving social difference in the background. The authors show that labor markets are built through social and geographical processes. People move in search of work, employers recruit across borders, states regulate mobility, and households absorb many of the costs of economic restructuring. Migration is therefore not only a demographic issue, but also a labor market mechanism that connects regions and countries. The text also highlights gendered and ethnic economic geographies, showing how access to work, wages, occupational roles, entrepreneurship, and informal activity can be shaped by social identities and power relations. These themes broaden the scope of economic geography beyond factories, corporations, and trade flows. They make visible the social reproduction of economic life, including unpaid work, segmented labor markets, and the ways communities create economic opportunities under unequal conditions. The practical insight is that economic space is made not only by capital investment, but also by people whose mobility, skills, constraints, and collective actions influence how economies function. Lastly, environmental change and the commodification of nature link economy to ecological limits. The book places the environment within economic geography rather than treating it as an external concern. It examines how nature becomes incorporated into economic systems through resources, land, water, energy, commodities, and environmental services. This includes the problem of commodification. Natural processes and materials are often turned into tradable goods or managed as assets, yet they do not behave like ordinary commodities. Ecosystems have limits, uneven distributions, and long-term consequences that market prices may fail to capture. The discussion of climate change deepens this point by showing that environmental problems are geographically uneven in both cause and impact. Emissions, energy systems, industrial development, vulnerability, and adaptation capacity vary across places. Some regions benefit from carbon-intensive growth, while others bear disproportionate risks from flooding, heat, drought, or livelihood disruption. The book, therefore, links environmental issues to questions of justice, governance, development, and global interdependence. Its economic geography perspective is valuable because it avoids framing climate and environment as purely scientific or moral issues. Instead, it asks how ecological pressures are produced through economic organization, how they are governed across scales, and how environmental transformation reshapes production, consumption, and regional futures. In conclusion, Economic Geography, A Contemporary Introduction is best suited to graduate students entering the field, instructors seeking a broad teaching text, and readers in geography, development studies, urban studies, international political economy, and related social sciences. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand how economic processes are organized through place, scale, networks, and power rather than through abstract market models alone. The practical benefit is conceptual clarity. Readers learn to analyze why industries cluster, how global production networks operate, why development is uneven, how migration and labor markets are connected, and why environmental change must be understood economically as well as ecologically. Its intellectual benefit is the way it combines classic themes of economic geography with contemporary concerns such as climate change, global governance, migrant labor, and non-mainstream economic practices. Compared with many introductory economics or business texts, it stands out because it does not treat space as a background variable. Compared with more specialized academic monographs, it offers broad pedagogy and accessible explanation. The book is distinctive in its ability to connect firms, states, workers, consumers, culture, technology, and nature within one coherent geographical framework. That makes it a strong foundation for readers who need both an overview of the field and a critical understanding of the global economy. If you would like to support Neil M. Co., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.